Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with your host, James Creviston.
Hey, everybody, this is James from the Clean Comedy Podcast, and I just want to shout out to you real quick to let you know that we're coming up on our 300th episode. 300, that's right, it's coming up, and there's going to be some big changes. You guys have requested a lot of stuff from me, and I'm going to give it to you. The logo over here, if you're watching the podcast on YouTube, is going to change. It will also change in your iTunes and all those things. You'll see a new logo coming up. Look for that. That'll change soon. You'll see it in the 300th episode. The new logo will be the background. The new logo, you'll see it everywhere, and everything will change on that day. We're also going to launch a Patreon. Lots of you have been asking for it. We're going to do a lot of stuff on Patreon. We're going to do get-togethers on there. We're going to do joke writing on there. We're going to do all the cool stuff that you guys want to do to make your comedy better. That's what I'm here for. So Patreon, it's going to be coming. So get excited. Episode 300, all that stuff's going to drop. You're also going to get a behind the scenes at what I've done since I started comedy, the amount of money I've made, the shows that I've done, the places I've been, the writing, everything that I've done. To get questions that you guys have, send them in. Email me for questions, because we're going to do a Q&A on the 300th episode. Email cleancomedypodcast@gmail.com. See ya. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. It's James. And today I have my good friend, David Studebaker, who's going to be on the podcast. He's going to come to us and talk to us about being on a cruise ship. He's resisted the cruise ship comedian job for years. He's been offered a bunch of times. He's resisted, but he can resist no longer. And so he went on the newest like comedy ship there is, a Margaritaville cruise. So if you're a parrot head, I'm a big Jimmy Buffett fan. Not big enough to go on that cruise, but I'm a pretty big Jimmy Buffett fan. So if you are also a Jimmy Buffett fan, or you just are interested in what cruise ship comedians' life is like, we've had a few others on here. But David and I are good friends. We've been friends for a long time. I got updates from him from the whole time he was there, pictures. It looked gorgeous and amazing, but I cannot wait to hear his enjoyment, his struggle, his all the stuff that about the cruise. So David, welcome to the podcast again.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So let's get into it. Let's get into this whole, it's a Margaritaville cruise. That was called Margaritaville cruise.
So it's called Margaritaville at Sea Paradise.
Okay. Oh, at Sea Paradise. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, how many cheeseburgers were people consuming in Paradise while you were there? Jimmy Buffett song number one. We're going to do this a lot,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, quite a few. Number one, quite a few. And I actually somehow, I wasn't aware of that song. And then I know.
What? To be fair, David doesn't eat meat. So that is very highly likely that he would not be aware of that. Okay.
It's not. So it's more just that I don't know. I just, that one, it slipped by me. They do a big Broadway show, and it was nationally touring for 3 years, I believe, 2.5 years, and it was called this show on the ship is Tales from Margaritaville. The other one was Escape to Margaritaville. That was a Broadway show that then toured nationally. And then they did, they brought a miniature version with some slight tweaks to this ship. And so, yeah, that was one of the numbers on the song.
Of course.
I mean, on the in the show. And so, yeah, I am familiar now with that. And they do a whole thing. It's a very distinctive number. The Cheeseburgers in Paradise number.
Is it 5 o'clock on the ship all the time? So is it's like 5 o'clock somewhere. Is it 5 o'clock so they can drink all the time on the ship? Is that how that works?
So there's there's a whole bar called the 5 o'clock somewhere bar.
Ah, two. There we go. We're two so far.
Ironically, and they do that number in the show, of course. But ironically, it does close at 2 a.m. But it's the which the pianist on there was saying. He's shocked that they don't have, you know, the bar open all night considering the theme, but it is the latest bar that serves drinks, I believe, is the 5 o'clock somewhere bar. It's on the very back. It's like, it has a giant booze in a blender statue. Mm. So that's, I sent that to James. So yeah, booze in the blender.
And I think they're posted on David's Instagram too. Like if you go look at his Instagram, you might have some pictures up there too.
At David Studebaker, you can check that out. Hey, and if you need to listen to an audiobook, Lone Star Lance, available now on Audible, narrated by yours truly.
How many times did you do that speech at sea?
Many, many times. Many, many times. The problem is most people don't have Wi-Fi on the ship. Yeah. So the book itself sold pretty well, but the audiobook not so well. Even though I give out postcards, it didn't do quite as well because they're not able to scan. But where were we? We got off track. So
how did it go? Let's talk about let's talk about just getting to the ship and how your experience was. Cause is this the first cruise you've ever been on? Like even as a writer or whatever, like not just a performer. Yes.
Yeah. I had done like a short one for a corporate gig. It was only like, you know, a few hours a day, whatever. But yeah, this is the first, I've never ridden on one, never been on one. It's funny because one of the main reasons why I've resisted for so long is the travel. So I don't sleep well on planes, as we detailed in our Alaska episode, because I have pretty long legs and I'm a sensitive sleeper as is. And so I, you know, maybe if I could afford first class, I'd sleep like a baby. But in the gulag seats that, you know, we can afford, it's a little tough. And so the hardest part of the whole cruise was sleep, which I knew was going to be the case. They flew me out on a red eye, and that's standard. Most cruises, they don't pay for your hotel. They'll pay for your flights, but they don't pay for the hotel. So they fly you out on the red eye, so they don't have to worry about that, and you arrive early enough to get on the ship. So I got about 2 hours of sleep, none of which on the plane, but there was a 3-hour layover in Atlanta in the middle of the night. And so I found a terminal that was completely empty. And so usually they have those iron bars like up for the arms, but there were like four seats that didn't have it, like a bench. So I just laid down there, used my backpack as a pillow, and I remarkably was able to sleep for 2 hours there, but that was it. And then I got into Palm Beach, and there's a gap. They embark out of Palm Beach. And so I get there, and then there's a gap between when I arrive and when I can get on the ship. And then once I was on the ship, I had to get ready. I had to do a lot of things. And then they do a set sail party where they kind of, a lot of people come up to the deck, they throw a party, they dance, they advertise the things. And they wanted me to see how it goes. Cause I do like a plug the rest of the time there. I plug my show during that. So that was like middle of the afternoon. Then I do that. And then I slept maybe 15 minutes after that. Because then I had to do a sound check because it was my first time. So early sound check. And then I wanted to see the Margaritaville show to see what was my lead in. And so, 2 hours and 15 minutes of sleep going into the first night, first show. And amazingly, though, I got a standing ovation at the end of it on almost no sleep. So that was really cool. But it was, and then sleep throughout because it's a 2-night cruise. So it, you know, I was on for 8 nights. So I did 8 straight shows, but it's a 2-night cruise, which is rare. Most of the time, if you do a cruise, you're on for like 7 nights and you do 2 to 5 shows over that same cruise. But this was tough because when you every two nights, the next morning, I have to get off the ship because they have to clear everyone. Even if I kept my room, but they had to get everyone off the ship. So I had to get off every couple mornings.
Did you have to take all your stuff too, or could you? Or did you?
No,
leave
I was
stuff?
Thankfully I was able to leave my stuff there. That was nice. Okay. But I just think because of how they security purposes and what they do, everyone, even the cast, everyone who's there has to get off. So they start kind of ushering people out through announcements, et cetera, at 7:30, 8 a.m. is kind of because they need people out by 9:30. So I already was jet lagged. I'm a night owl. That's already like my version of 4:30 a.m. So it was, sleep was definitely a struggle the first half. By like three nights in, by the fourth night or third night, by my third show, so my third show on board, after that show, I could barely see straight. Like I was trying to get the Wi-Fi set up and like the numbers were moving around. And I was like, I had like 13 hours of sleep in like 3 or 4 nights. It was tough. After that, I started sleeping better and I kind of recovered, but you know, and that combined with just being, you know, being away and disconnected from my wife and kids is why I had resisted for so long, because you know, the Wi-Fi is terrible if you can get it usually. And it's also just, you're gone for such a long stretch. Whereas like you and I, we go off for 3-4 nights to run a weekend shows, come back, then go out, come back, go out. But this is like, it really is a different thing than even being on tour for 2 weeks in the US. Right. It's like, you really are like gone. But the cool thing about, although waking up early was tough, the cool thing with Margaritaville having to disembark so many times is that you got to get back onto U.S. soil. I could go to Whole Foods. I could, you know, go other places and yeah. So
that was awesome. What was the biggest challenge as well, especially following like a big show like that? How long was the show before you performed?
It's about a 45-minute show, and they go on at 8 every night. And the first night I'm on the ship, I do a PG show at 10 p.m. And the second night I'm on the ship, I do an adults-only show at 11 p.m. So that part was wonderful. I absolutely loved it because, number one, the stage is gorgeous. If you go to my Instagram, you can see it's just a gorgeous stage.
It was beautiful.
The sound and the lighting setup was done by a world-renowned Broadway director and tech person.
Makes sense.
And the sound guy is spectacular. Scott, I love you. I had, you know, great help from the production manager, Christy. It was really great. It was really great. And the cast was great too. So that was what was really nice about this is on other ships that are bigger. So this is a smaller ship. It's an older, smaller ship. It was a cruise company that during COVID fell on hard times and went bankrupt. And then the Margaritaville people bought the ship, kept that company on, but like Margaritaville does all the theming and the shows and the entertainment. So it's a smaller ship. So a lot on the larger ones, there's like a zillion big shows. There's you know, go-kart races, a billion things going on the really huge ships. On a smaller one like this, there's less. So we were the main stage, the main act. They did have they had a band playing in the Euphoria Lounge, and they had some different, you know, game shows and different things going on. But in terms of entertainment, it was the Broadway show and it was me. And what was really nice is the cast of the play, they were so cool, so talented, just really wonderful. Every one of them just so nice and welcoming. And so I made friends with all of them. It was really nice. They would come to most of my shows. One of the nights, I told them not to come because they had done rehearsals all day. It was crazy, but they were like willing to have come like every time. And it was cool because, as you know, a lot of times, you know, I'm off doing a corporate event in Winnemucca, Nevada, and I'm alone and driving and all that, and maybe there's another comedian, maybe not, but it's a lonely life. Whereas this was really nice, because on my first kind of cruise being out in the wilderness or out at sea, I made great friendships. I really loved them, and their show was amazing. And that was actually really good, because the show is fun and you know, it's campy, but it's like, it's, you know, Jimmy Buffett's songs are great and they do an amazing job. The dance numbers are incredible. They dance with the audience. They include the audience, yeah, which is cool, because that's what I do in my act. So it was the perfect primer for what I do. And so it really, like, I loved it. I thought it was great. And there was enough space, because the first night, it was funny. The first night, when I'm running on 2 hours of sleep and they're doing a conga line and like having the dancing and doing flips and all this, and I'm like, I gotta follow this. Like, I can barely stay awake, and I gotta, you know, how am I gonna follow this? I don't normally use profanity, but the end of their show, I just stood up and just dropped an F-bomb because I was just like, I'm dead. I don't know how to follow that. It's too high energy. And even though I'm normally high energy, I was like, I didn't have it. But thankfully it was nice, because there is that hour plus in between, and it really did set the mood correctly. And so, yeah, it was great.
Was theirs like a dinner and a show thing? Like, was there, they served dinner while they did that, or was it just drinks in the show?
Drinks. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Again, if you go to my Instagram, you'll see the layout. It's really beautiful. So they have, it's great for comedy too. So they have the floor area where there's audience, you know, there's tables there. And then they have like a stadium seating that wraps around just perfectly. And it's like right at eye level with me on stage. So, and it's really close. So I was able to do crowd work, not only with people in the audience there, but like on the wings too. And boy, was the crowd work eventful. My goodness. I mean, you can imagine literally it's a booze cruise. I mean, in the title, it's Margaritaville.
Yeah.
The title. So, you had, you know, and an interesting cross section of people in that, very interesting demographic, very wide range of, and so, I mean, there was a guy, there was a Santa Claus who looked like I said on stage, I'm like, man, you look like Santa Claus on LSD. And then he shows that he came to my adult show, or I wanted to say that in the kid show. And I didn't say it. And then he came to my adult show, and he was, again, dressed like surfer Santa Claus. And so I ended up finally just bringing him on stage, and he had legally changed his name to Santa. He does Santa stuff, but like legally changed his name to Santa. And then there was a guy.
Did you ask him how much he actually worked? Is he only working like December, November, December? Because that seems like the only time you'd get work,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, that's what I said. I was like, oh, this is a slow time for you. That's why you're able to come on the cruise. but he was just the second show. I mean, basically he just had a white beard and slick back, you know, white hair. But like the second show, he was wearing like a Hawaiian shirt, red Hawaiian shirt with red sneakers and white shorts. And so it turned out he looked like a guy who could be, and he wasn't even portly, he was thin, but just, he just had the face of a Santa Claus. And so then, yeah, it turns out that's like what he does for a living. And he changed his name legally to Santa. I think he's unionized too. I guess there's like a Santa union. Claus, wow. But like, and he was just, that was like nothing. I mean, one of the nights, I think my favorite person, my favorite audience member was a guy who like from the waist up, he looked like a pirate. He looked like he had the tattoos and kind of that, you know, like the stubble with the really tan shoe leather skin, and then kind of the kind of messy, you know, gray hair, and the shirt he had on was very kind of sailor piratey kind of thing. But he was wearing a kilt from a black leather kilt on the bottom. And what he does for a living is he's a pastor of a church. And I was like, wow, all are welcome at that church. That's for sure. Everyone is welcome there. So I did a whole thing with him. But I was
Black Flag Church. Is that the name of the church?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Church of Pillaging and Plundering. Right. But it was like, it was like a mix. It was like Braveheart meets Pirates of the Caribbean meets, you know, a pastor. It was just amazing. There was just so much of that where it was, for someone who likes to do crowd work, it was just a buffet of crowd work. So that was cool. And it was really cool just having like Scott, the sound guy, you know, because he's, you know, he was able to do multiple music cues for me. And it was just, yeah, it was just, it was wild. It was especially like the, and then what was cool too is, you know, a lot of comedians on cruise, I listened to your interview with Alan Cunningham, and he, you know, and it has to be two separate shows for right. this, like the PG and the adult one, which is common. And there are a lot of comedians, especially on cruises, where for the PG show, well, kind of one or the other. So there's some comics where they are, you know, clean is like their specialty. And so they really put the effort in on the clean show. And then kind of you can feel on the adult show, they're kind of, you know, not winging it a little bit, you know, phoning it in a little bit, just kind of making it work.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Alan talked about how, you know, for his family-friendly show, you know, he just goes all out for it. Because a lot of most comics are much more comfortable with the adult show. And right. this one, like, they like, advertise, like, kids are welcome, etc. So a lot of comics for that one will kind of just, you know, they'll do the best they can to get through, but they won't blow any of their A material on the kids show because they want to just destroy at the adult show. And that's usually when there's more audience members. So, but what was cool is that like Alan, which he said the same thing happened to him, you know, I went all out at the kids show and I, you know, I'm able to do kid friendly, you know, PG humor, and I'm able to do, you know, adult stuff. So I went all out at the kids one the first night, and then I had audience members like spreading the word after that. So like the first night I got a standing ovation, and then they would go around telling other people like, hey, you got to come to the comedy show the next night. And they would all come back. So I'd ask like who here was at the last show, and virtually everyone would come back. So it would make it that the second night was just, you know, packed. We actually, Scott said, the sound guy said that my last night on the cruise, I set the capacity record for that theater. That nice. They had never packed so many people. And there were people sitting on the floor, sitting in the hallways. The whole upper area was total. Everyone was standing, you know, packed in the upper area. Hopefully, no fire codes were. But hey, we're at sea, so there are no fire codes. You know what I mean? So it was really cool. Like the shows were really, really fun.
That sounds awesome, man. That sounds, congratulations, because that is not easy to do at all. So if you had to do it again, and you have all the knowledge, you could go back and tell yourself a few things to get you prepared for that, because, you know, you were kind of caught off guard, you didn't know what to expect 100%. What would you go back and tell yourself to prepare for those kind of cruises? Because it's 2 1-hour shows, right? So one clean, one not clean.
So the first show, what's nice is the kid show is only like 30 to 35 minutes. Okay. So, and then the second show is 45 plus. So I usually would end up going a little long. The first show, the reason I had a more tight time frame is in the lobby, the pianist for the Broadway show, he does a set in the lobby. He takes requests and he sings, you know, plays music and sings songs. So I had to be done in a certain time for him. But the second show, the adults only show, there's nothing after me. So I would typically go long on the second one. So yeah, it's a lighter load than like on Carnival. Like Alan was saying, like they have to do like 3 30-minute sets that are completely different, and then they can repeat 2 of them. So I was maybe doing 1 hour and 20 minutes. They have to do 1 hour and 30 minutes plus then repeat it twice.
Yeah. And did they tell you couldn't repeat material on any of those shows? Like how did
yeah.
that do the,
yeah. So, yeah. So, and I'll get to what I would do differently.
Okay.
But yeah, you're not allowed to repeat. The only thing I would repeat is my Celine Dion bit, which you can YouTube that. Because it's a music, you know, it involves music, And so music is different than like just telling a joke. If I just tell a joke and you just heard it last night, you're like, well, I just heard that. But with music, like, you know, no matter how many times you go see Jimmy Buffett, you want him to play Margaritaville. So I typically will get complaints. I have gotten complaints if I, especially if I'm the main act and I don't do the Celine Dion bit, even if they've seen me before, because sometimes they'll be like, I brought someone. Now, we don't care about your material, but I brought someone to see the Celine Dion bit and you didn't do it. So that's the only one I would repeat at the end. It worked very well. But yeah, other than that, it has to be completely different sets.
Okay, so now what would you do differently on that? No.
Not take a red eye out there. So,
could you have done that? Could you have said no red eye for me?
Well, this one, it was too short notice and it was fine. Gotcha. But in the future, what I'm going to do, like, so I'm booked to do Margaritaville again. November 28th through the 5th, through December 5th. And there was a guy who on the second night I did a show, he was in the audience. He was really cool. I brought him on stage and I did a whole thing. He was really cool. And he runs the entertainment and clubhouse for a country club in Vero Beach. And so after that, after that show, he gave me his card and said, hey, I'd love to have you perform there next time it works for you out in Florida. So what I did is I contacted him I booked that with him. And then I may do a show at a different country club as well before that. But regardless, so I'm doing the show there, going to get some money for that. And he's going to put me up in a hotel. So that solves. I may have to pay for a hotel the night, because I'm not going to fly in the day of the show. I don't want to, risk missing it. But still, basically what I'm going to do whenever I can is book stuff before the cruise that will allow me to pay for a hotel to then do it. And then I'll come in rested. If for some reason I have to get, a cheap motel by the airport or whatever, I'd rather spend out of my pocket some money and come in,
fresh,
a human being, then, because then all the different sleep issues you might have on a cruise, they're not hitting you as hard if you're coming in with, such a deficit.
Okay. Any other things that you would do differently?
Not really. I think that in terms of like what I could control, I may have packed different things. Oh, I won't pack this shirt. That's for sure. I ended up not wearing this shirt. For the audio, for the listeners at home, it is a shirt with a bunch of pineapples on them. And many of those pineapples are upside down. And this is a clean, family-friendly show. So I will not detail what that means. But if you do know what it means, I didn't know when I bought the shirt, number one. If I'm just wearing it to the beach or just somewhere, it doesn't matter. But when you happen to be on a cruise where folks who are of the upside down pineapple subculture and are wearing those shirts are on said cruise, I am going to play that one safe and not lead to any misconceptions. And I'm going to not wear the shirt. So this one stayed in my closet. I wore it to remind me to tell that story to you, James. And then it ends up on air. You never know, it'll end up on air. But yeah. It was, overall, it was, and there are things inherent to any older cruise ship that, there's limitations that the ship has and difficulties, but overall they gave me a great room. I enjoyed my time and everyone was really nice, and the whole cast, the cruise director, everyone was super cool. And the woman who booked me, my agent, Karen, amazing. Christine, my manager. I'm just going to do a whole Oscars speech. I did one cruise and I'm doing a whole Oscars speech.
There, no, that's good.
To all the people who helped me survive. Oh, hey, didn't get seasick too.
Oh, that was going to say that was one question I was about to ask. The second question was, okay, so you and I don't eat the same. If David and I go somewhere, we do not eat the same way. We don't eat the same food. We're very different in that. However, that being said, how was the food? Because I know cruises push a lot, like they're a lot like Vegas in like buffet format, having all different kinds of food or whatever. How was that? Because that sounds like it would probably be cool, especially because of the Jimmy Buffett theme. There's probably a lot of like shrimp, there's probably a lot of cheeseburgers, probably a lot of seafood, stuff like that. Like,
So I from what I hear, because I am too cheap or broke to eat at the fancy restaurant there. There's a fancy one called JWB Steakhouse or something that is supposed to be spectacular and has many of the things you just listed. There is also, I believe it is at the 5 o'clock somewhere bar, they have like a burger station, like open all night, where you can get like they have all these specialty burgers you can get there. And then there's a dining, there's like a restaurant too that some of the things are included, some are not. And then I was mostly just at the buffet. The buffet had a lot of options, and many of them were great. The funny thing though is that, this is a cruise that takes off in Palm Beach, goes to Grand Bahama, and comes back. And there are many people who live in the Bahamas or who have family members in the Bahamas. And what they'll do is they'll like get a ticket for the first leg and go there and then spend a week in Grand Bahama. And then they will get a ticket on the back leg coming back. And so they cater to, there's a lot of people who live in the Caribbean or are from the Caribbean on the ship. And Caribbean food tends to have
well,
some spice
spicy.
to it. And so, like, there was nothing that was like super spicy. Like, nothing would be considered spicy. I am very weak when it comes to spices,
No,
but going
he's
into
sensitive. He's not weak. He's just more
yeah,
sensitive to it
thank
than the
you.
rest of us. So
Appreciate
that's not
it.
true
Thank
because
God.
David has eaten Indian food with Luke and I in New York, and
I
there's if you've ever eaten any of food, there's levels there, and he ate it like a champ. So he's just sensitive to
Thank you.
what he can and can't eat.
Yes,
So
I
don't
should
say
make
it
that clear. Yeah, thank you, buddy. I should make it
like
clear. I can eat those things. It's more what happens on the back end,
that.
the sensitivity. I don't mind the flavor of it. It's the back end going in. I think partially because of the lack of sleep and just I was taking a lot of like pain pills to keep myself going. I was my stomach was like really not in good shape going in. And so there were many, like there actually was a lot of Indian food. Like there's a lot of food that was a lot of food in the buffet that was good that I wanted, but like it was just if everything had like spice to it, even just a little bit when I'm that sensitive. So it was kind of funny because I'm like, there's so many things that I would want to eat, or I would have something like, oh, this is like there was like a they have a stir fry station sometimes where they make stir. It's like, oh, that's easy. Even the stir fry was a little spicy. I'm like, guys, I'm really so like there were like a few times where I literally had like rice and fried plantains. That was like my lunch. But no, I mean the food overall was it was good.
Do they have prime rib at the buffet? Because that's what I would be living on probably is prime rib.
They did, I believe. Yes. Yeah. It looked like prime rib. Yeah. They
That
actually,
that's
yeah, pretty much all.
that's
And they
James's
had burgers.
buffet go-to.
A lot of times, usually lunch, they had like burger buffet. They had a lot of different buffets, but there was like a whole like burger and hot dog buffet. So you definitely could have had some. And they had paninis too. I guess you could do like a
Oh, Cubanos
panini.
and stuff, like Cubano
Well, yeah,
sandwiches
they would
stuff.
like make a. They had like a guy making paninis. So yeah, though it was it was good. It was
What
good.
about
But
dessert?
not.
You're not really a dessert guy, but
Not at all. The desserts looked good. I didn't eat any of them, but they looked really good. They were a lot of it was like fancy looking cheesecake. It was like it looked like I think it's
Sounds perfect for
cheesecake
me.
with like the little like fruit layer on top with a little dollop. Is that a thing? Yeah. So there was like all you could eat, cheesecake.
I would get fat on
But
this cruise. I could tell you right now, I would get fat on this
you know
cruise.
what? Hey, and I don't know if it's still going on, but when I was on, they had a buy one, get one free discount. You and Crystal could come on out. You could do the
She
cruise like baseline for like 150 or $200 for two people total.
Here's
So.
what happens. You and I go to Florida. We do the thing. I ride your cruise for the first leg and then go back home. I just pay for my
Yeah.
ticket and go to the thing. So
That's what
that'd
I'm
be
saying,
fun.
bro.
That'd be
That's what I'm
super fun.
saying. Yeah. That'd be great.
So are you now, did you write any new material while you're on the ship? Because I know you're a prolific writer, you like to write a lot and stuff. Did you write any new jokes while you're on the ship as well? And did you test any of them on the cruise, or did you
Oh
not?
yeah. I did. So I wrote a couple things. Honestly, I had this plan going in. I was going to start working on the sequel to Lone Star Lance, available on Audible and Amazon. I was going to start writing the sequel. I've already kind of mapped it out, but I was going to start writing the sequel. I was maybe going to work on some scripts. I was going to do some edit. And then like the sleep deprivation, the first half of it, I was like so out of it. And then my focus ended up being, so I had a bunch of new stuff that was either, you know, I was wanting to try out or I was starting to try out. And so most of what I did there was kind of honing newer bits and trying out stuff that I had already written. I did write a song for the cruise that I kind of tweaked and worked out. I can't sing it on here because the punchline references something that is not clean. But it was basically, the song is like, the premise is, you know, I'm happy to be here in Margaritaville because most of my life is spent in Diaperville. And so it's a song where I, you know, wasting away again in Diaperville, and I do a whole thing on that. So,
Did they cue did they play the Margaritaville background music so you could sing it? Like, did it work that way?
No, kinda
like a karaoke style or no?
I they could have, but I opted to just do it acapoco.
Acapoco, yes. You got to get one of those. You got to get a little guitar and then just like a ukulele or something.
You know, the other fun thing that I love just as a comic is, you know, like we like, you've seen my material a ton of times, I've seen your material a ton of times, and like part of the fun is like seeing how the stuff does with different audiences. So I ended up going to every one of the Broadway shows through the week there. Because it was just really fun. I love Jimmy Buffett's music, and they were all super cool. But also, it was really fun to just see how it would do with each audience. Because, like, you know, especially during the middle of the week, it was pretty sparse, the audience there. And I had the benefit of, you know, if people came to my show the first night, they would come the second night, and new people would come. But for them, they do the same show both nights. So, you know, a lot of people, some people would come twice, but a lot of folks will come one night or not the other. So there were like one of the cruises, there were only like 400 or 500 people on the ship. And so it was funny to see them have to do like their different things they do. Like, cause the guy who plays kind of a Jimmy Buffett-esque character, it's not Jimmy Buffett, it's a character, but he, the lead guy, his name is Jude, great guy. So there's things he does where he'll do crowd work in the show, and he'll kind of like, you know, he'll riff off of that. So he'll say like, who here loves books? And he'll talk about Jimmy Buffett's books, but he'll have people shout out, you know, books that they love, and he'll kind of riff based on what they say. And just on some of the light shows, like he did things that it made me laugh and it made him laugh, but just, you know, just bombed, just the most horrible bombing, which made it more funny, but I think both for him and me. But like one of them, someone said some book like Rosanna, and he's like, oh, it's a great Toto song. I just lost out. Like, the most obscure, like no one knows.
Rosanna,
song.
Rosanna. Yeah. No, we know it. How do you not know that song?
Well, no, I was going to say, people know that song. But this crowd, like very drunk, very tired, and especially he was the first night, so you had a lot of kids, like little kids there. It was just like, it was just, you know, and also just, it's not like, it was just so random too. It's not that they don't know the song. It's like, it's just such a random. So the things like that were really fun. So I watched, you know, each night, and then like one of them, like Mother Ocean, beautiful song, right? So that's kind of right in the middle of the show. And so you know, the lights are down, he's on the plank part, he's, you know, he's strumming on the guitar, Mother Ocean. And then right then, like 40 people stood up and walked out in unison right then. And it was so, like, if you want to think there's like a big number, but it was like so obvious. And I think most likely it's because there's like a dinner seating time that, I think they could have gotten to it, but I think they were like worried they wouldn't get to their dinner seating. So, but it was just like so remarkable.
Oh my
gosh. The timing of that like song. If you don't know the song, you know, YouTube it or get on Spotify, just picture he's just going into the, you know, and then boom, they all get up and go out. So,
oh man, that's tough. It sounds like a fun cruise. It sounds like something Hopefully, if they had non-alcoholic margaritas and all that stuff, I could do. I don't drink, yeah. So that's not like a thing that I do. But I would love to go and eat the food and stuff. See, I want to do – the thing is I've always wanted to take Crystal on a cruise because she is terrified of the ocean, and she does feel like she would get seasick. Me, I was in the Navy, lived on a ship, no problem whatsoever. None of stuff's going to bother me. So maybe that's something that we do go do.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I would say it really is a great starter cruise because you don't have that feeling. I mean, there are like some 3 and 5 day cruises that also would work, but with this one, especially, like, you do not have that feeling that you can get on some cruise. So if someone's, you know, afraid of it, where yes, you do port each day in different places, but that feeling of like, I am really far away and I am, and like, whereas this one, it's like, okay, well, if you're struggling the first night, we're turning right around the next day and coming right home, you know? Yeah. So you don't have that sort of, you know, it's like an extended ferry in a way.
Right. Yeah. So. And we thought about doing I think it's like Ensenada, whatever, the one that goes down to Mexico and back from like Long Beach to Mexico. So we thought about that one before. So maybe that is something that I do with her. I think that she's terrified of the cruise. So for me, the ocean is my friend. It is Mother Ocean. So I'm down with that 100%. No problem whatsoever. David, where can people find out when you're going to be on the ship again? So if they're listening and they want to go and watch you again, is there like a cruise ship like site that had a list like what entertainers are going to be on there and stuff, or not really, or how they found it out?
No, it won't be on there on their website, I don't think, but I do list it on my website. So as soon as I book it, I put it on there. So it's on my website, davidstudebaker.com. And you can see when I'll be there. Lone Star Lance on Audible. Hey, and a little teaser, James and I have a little audiobook collaboration coming out soon to be announced.
There's a lot about to be announced because we're about to hit the 300th episode. So there's your episode, then the one episode after that, and then 300. On the 300th episode, we're going to unveil a new logo. But if you've went to Instagram, you've seen that logo already. So it'll be a new logo. There'll be a new Patreon that's coming. There'll be all kinds of new stuff that's coming. So tons of stuff in the works. If you go look at Instagram, you get a little peek at it. Thanks to Jake Taylor for helping me with all the logos and stuff. He's awesome. If you ever watch Tonight Show. Yeah, if you're watching Tonight Show Buddies, he's on there. He's amazing. I just got him some extra work to work on stuff for another thing project that I have. So that's what I do for my friends, is I always try to get them work. I think my wife says I get more people work than I get for myself. So we'll see how that goes.
I don't know. You're writing 19 scripts at once. So
It does happen. This is my only day off right now. And I went and worked on another project of mine to work on this week. So it was good. Well, thank you, David. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please like, subscribe. I'll put all of David's links in the show notes so you guys can click on that stuff. You can go look at it. And I would go to his Instagram and look at those Margaritaville cruise pictures because they were cool. That's what made me want to go. I was like, oh, man, those pictures are awesome. So did you put videos up or just pictures?
I just did pictures. I had some videos.
He sent us some videos that I loved.
I wish I had actually like recorded the sets. I regret not bringing a cameraman on the ship. I know. Hey, listen, let's talk.
Yeah. All right, guys, thank you so much. Thank you again, David. Get ready. You are only this is 298, 299 is coming, and then 300. So we're right there, guys, and we're gonna get it. And then we're gonna get to 365 episodes, so you can listen to the Clean Comedy Podcast one episode every day for a year. How awesome would that be? I'm so excited. All right, thank you guys so much. Like, subscribe, get ready, get excited. 300 is coming your way. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.